Hi, I'm Christy Hurt, the founder of The Collab. We are a collective of brand professionals sharing our career stories. Every week, we pair up two members and they interview each other, so you'll get to hear one episode this week and one next week. You can join us too. Sign up at jointhecollab.com and then tell your story.
Hey, I'm Shama Bunton, the CEO of Scaling Retail and podcast host of Getting Rich Together, an expander podcast for women and wealth. I am so excited to be here today with my husband, prolific entrepreneur, leader, John Bunton, CEO of Recor Group. Welcome today to being on the show.
It's wonderful to be with you.
John, what I am so excited about is how interesting your journey has been. You have come from a place of joining the military at a young age to then going on to do an MBA, having an early career at companies like Coty, Smucker, and then eventually launching your own business, Recor Group. What role has the military played in really the growth and expansion of your career and ultimately what you've been able to accomplish as the CEO of your company going on 9 years now?
Yeah, thank you. It's been a journey for sure. Growing up, I had a upbringing growing up on an alfalfa farm and didn't have a lot of direction coming out of high school and decided to enlist in the Army. And some of the early lessons that I got to learn through my experience with the Army was around mentorship and leadership. And I was really blessed to have a couple of really amazing mentors that helped guide me on my early journey. And their mentorship and their kindness and ultimately their love was what helped me to grow into the leader that I am today. And so it's a great question around what did the military teach me? It taught me a lot about leadership. And it taught me initially, the early stages of the military taught me early on kind of what leadership, the ground rules of leadership. But beyond that, it helped me to become much more focused around mentorship specifically. And so as I've grown my career, I have focused a lot of my time around leading with love and mentoring folks and really being able to shape leadership teams. And so one of the strengths that I have been able to cultivate throughout my career has been to find mentors for myself and then also to mentor others along in the journey with me. I've had a unique ability to see talent in people and to be able to groom that talent and to be able to place that talent within organizations. So that, to me, has been some of the biggest lessons I've learned from my service in the Army.
Now, moving from the military and moving into beauty, fragrance, cosmetics, the world of models and fashion week parties was probably something really different and unusual that you didn't expect to do when you were getting out of military school and getting out of all of the active work that you had been doing in the military. Can you please share with us a little bit more about what you were expecting to do coming out of the military and how you had thought your career was really going to progress?
So going into the world of beauty was really fascinating to me. I started in finance and then ultimately into trade marketing and trade finance. And so getting the opportunity to do a lot of post-promotion analysis and return on investment analysis. And so it was fascinating to be able to see that world and to see how products come to market, and especially within the beauty segment where it's so marketing driven. And you know, we got to work with celebrities and we had celebrities in the office and we were launching their fragrances. And it was really fascinating to see how products got launched and brought to market in a big way. And then to be able to later on in my career, see how the same kind of core set of processes was still applicable when we were launching new fruit spreads or coffee items when I was with Smucker's.
That's so cool. You know, some of the things that I recall from our conversations in the past, you know, one in particular, well, two things actually. The first is when you and I were entering into the workforce, you know, we got offered very different offers and different experiences entering into the workforce. And I think that's so fascinating, you know, coming out of university and entering into Macy's, I was making $40,000 a year, you know, for you entering into retail. Can you give us a context of what that starting salary looked like sort of within that role of finance?
Yeah. So I was very fortunate. I was recruited out of college by the first company I worked for was Dell Laboratories. I was recruited 6 months before I graduated into a role in finance and in particular into treasury. And so I knew immediately after graduation that I was moving to New York and I had a starting salary at $45,000 a year and full moving package for a guy that was coming right out of college. It was an incredible opportunity that the red carpet was rolled out. And so it was a really amazing experience to move to New York and have this career unfolding in front of me in such a way that it felt very, very blessed.
It's so exciting. You know, I think the other thing about your early experiences that struck me was, you know, how many women were on the leadership teams as these big decisions were being made in the categories of women CPG products. Can you share a little bit about what that leadership makeup looked like?
So that's a great question. One of the fascinating things about working in the beauty, luxury beauty segment was realizing that so much of the marketing at the ground level was done by women. But yet when it came to the actual decisions being made at the top, it was the majority of those decision makers were actually men. And so it was a really fascinating look into how, in particular in beauty, where I definitely had a thought that it was probably decisions being made by women. But that wasn't the case. And so it was a really interesting experience to see.
That's so cool. Okay, so moving on from Coty. So you've had this incredible experience in fragrance, going to all these big parties, going to fashion week events, you know, meeting celebrities. Super cool, especially as a young man and probably not ever anticipating you would be in these rooms or at these events. And then you decided to take a turn. And what I think is interesting is, you know, your role at Smucker and how you were able to grow and manage, you know, hundreds of million dollars of business and expansion and overseeing, you know, mergers and acquisitions of brands and, you know, the entire infrastructure. What prepared you from your experience in beauty or at Coty to sort of take on these other roles? And how did you see your role at Smucker develop and grow? Was it very intentional, sort of the path you navigated? How did you sort of excel so quickly there?
Yeah, I was always surrounded by great people. I think that's one of the things that I brought forward from me throughout, from the military and into my career was seeing the people that I wanted to emulate and the folks that I saw as mentors to me, latching onto them and really asking for help, asking for guidance, and really being willing to be flexible. And so when I jumped over from beauty into food, I took the same tact. And so I looked at who are the people at this company that I actually, who do I actually want to be when I start to grow into this field? And what is the knowledge base that I can get from those folks today that helps me shortcut some of the steps in climbing up the ladder? And so I was very fortunate to have, again, wonderful mentors that took me under their wing, and I was able to move forward with them within the organizations and very quickly build my own reputation. And so from that perspective, from a leadership perspective, finding those people that I could that could come with me, but also finding the people behind me that I could bring forward with me as well. And so I held different positions within Smucker's. I started in sales finance, ultimately moving out to managing a sales team, managing the Western sales team, managing a very large portfolio of product across the whole Western United States, and doing that from the sales lens. And then I saw ultimately a gap in the marketplace. So, you know, we were using a sales and marketing agency to handle our product portfolio. And so I was working with these individual sales companies to help sell our products into the retailers. And I saw a big gap in the marketplace for having a more boutique and more white glove service offering as far as a sales and marketing company or a broker is concerned. And so after about 8 years of working with Smucker's, I decided to launch my own company, a sales and marketing brokerage firm within CPG. And so Recor was born.
It's amazing. I'd like to double click on a couple fun things about Smucker's. You know, the first is in my relationship with you, I've really come to learn the difference between a marmalade, a jam, a preserve. I don't know if I'm missing any others, but can you please help unpack for our listeners what all these different things are and like how we know which one is which?
Sure. You missed jelly.
Jelly.
So yeah. So there's jam, jelly, preserves, and marmalade. So jelly is basically just fruit juice and pectin. You've got jam, which is a pulverized fruit. The preserve actually has the whole fruit in it. And a marmalade is anything really with it that has a citrus peel in it.
So amazing. And then the other great thing I think about your experience at Smucker's is certainly something that I've had a chance to benefit from in our marriage, which is you're one heck of a baker and you really know your way around making all sorts of delicious things, including bundt cakes, which was the topic of the book we released last year, Mr. and Mrs. B's Guide to Bundt Cakes. And so what I want to find out from you is, what was it like going through the Smucker's Baking Academy 12 times? Did that mean you were an epic fail or an epic winner? Tell me about that experience and how it really has really shaped everyone in your lives' palates ever since.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. One of the wonderful things that Smucker's did, and what I strongly encourage a lot of the businesses that we work with today, is to create innovation labs and customer education. And Smucker's was absolutely incredible at this. They had an innovation center, which we would bring customers, retailers from all over the country. And we would have different programs that we would put these retailers through. So at the time, Smucker's owned Pillsbury and Crisco and a number of other baking brands. And so we had a culinary institute and we would bring our customers through and teach them basically how to scratch bake. And we would teach them all about how to use flour and how to use oil and all of these different components and how to create things like a scratch bundt cake. And so me going through a dozen times, I passed each time, by the way, but it was a great experience and one that I think a lot of companies can learn from and emulate in terms of educating customers in their product lines.
Mm. And so how long is it that you're supposed to leave the butter out for and the buttermilk out for before you start?
2 hours.
2 hours. Okay. 2 hours. You know, I think I'm going to leave the bundt cakes to you, but it's good to know that it's 2 hours. So moving on from Smucker's and obviously launching Recore Group, which has had just a tremendous amount of impact in the industry. You know, just the other week, you found out that for the fifth time in a row, you won top best places to work in the state of Idaho, which is kind of incredible for a small company to be able to be so mighty, especially given that is really an employee-driven achievement, which means that you're not nominating yourself, but everyone else is nominating and voting in for the business. And that is really, I think, a testament to your leadership and certainly many of the things that you learned from your time in the military. In addition to that, you've also been the recipient of the Inc. 5000 Award now a number of years in a row. And yet it seems when you receive these awards, to me, it seems like they're not enough. And so what I want to know is within your space and how you are making an impact, what is it more that you want Recore Group to be and do that will feel satisfying for you, where you're going to be able to say, not only have I done it, but I'm doing it and I'm feeling the sense of accomplishment that is resounding? Because undoubtedly, the companies that you service, you know, companies like Martinelli's or Beyond Meat or WD-40, they've been clients of yours for some time because of how successful it is that you grow their businesses. But tell me, what is it that you want out of this business in order to feel like, boom, you've made a huge impact?
Yeah, great question again. So the awards that we win are really a reflection of the team that we've put together under my leadership. And, you know, one of the big things that I learned over the course of my career is around culture and team development. And as I started the company 9.5 years ago, it was a very intentional focus around culture and culture framework and development. It's such an easy thing to lose, but a really hard thing to gain back once you lose your culture. And so we have been very diligent about putting values in a framework around our culture that allows us to win these awards. You said it doesn't seem that that's quite enough for me. Yeah, that's probably true. I, as a classic entrepreneur, I'm always reaching for the fences, or swinging for the fences and looking for the next thing. But we do try to take time to celebrate our wins as we have them. What I would like for the future is for our company to continue to grow into a national sales and marketing and brokerage firm. If we could be servicing the top 80% of all grocery retailers specifically, I would call that very much a win for Recore Group.
It's incredible. And, you know, I certainly in my purview of startups and founders and all the work that I do, I come across dozens of CPG brands that are just dying to be in a position to be able to work with a company like yours, but don't necessarily understand at what stage they're ready to take on a firm like yours. What is the ideal client profile for the companies that you're working with? And when do these startups and founders know it's time to have a conversation with Recore Group?
As we've grown over the years, we've always been in a position of profitability as an organization. However, we are always looking first and foremost for clients that fit with us first culturally. From an ideal client profile, we're looking at culture fit. We're looking at innovation. We're looking at, do they have a great leadership team in place that's going to lead them forward into the future? And then also we're looking for a specific dollar size and unit velocities and hurdle rates for us. We have a large portfolio of premium products, but the reality is for us, our mainstream items that have extremely high unit velocities are much more appealing to us. We do have a wonderful portfolio of premium products that have high unit velocities, but when you start delving into the specialty arena, it just becomes more complex and also just less profitable. So for us, when we look at ideal clients, we're looking for partners. And when we look at partnership from a lens of also working with the leadership teams of those companies from a strategic standpoint and really helping to drive their brand success forward, we really act as consultants to those leadership teams by helping them create strategic roadmaps for their brands at the specific retailers that we call on, and then also help them to look at innovation pipeline for the future.
That's really fascinating. Now, over the last 6 months, I've had the distinct privilege of seeing you go through a lot of different scenes, if you will, within the company, from the perspective of looking at a potential sale of the business and really doubling down on your core values of what you believe in and what you see and really doubling down on yourself, as well as now in a position of looking at, what else is available for the business. So business aside, right, or Recore Group aside, there's also so much available and so much that's unfolding for you as John Bunton, the human. Can you help me map and chart out sort of how you're paralleling and looking at the next iterations and versions of you, and then also how you're looking at the future iterations and versions of the business?
Yeah. So we've been working towards in the last 3.5 years of building a core leadership team to move the company forward. So in the last 18 months, I've been actively transitioning my role to our chief operating officer and really moving myself into more of a position as the visionary of the company so that we can continue to grow. So we are looking at a number of acquisitions at the present time of expanding our business, both from a geographical footprint, but also looking at the purchase of a couple of different companies to make that geographical expansion, as well as continuing organic growth. We have an analytics business inside of the company that we're also looking to rapidly expand. And so looking to make some significant investments over the next couple of years into tools and technology development to help retailers and our clients really access speed to insight. So taking lots of syndicated POS data and being able to find insight and be able to really find those golden nuggets and polish them to be able to tell selling stories. So we're really excited about the future of where we're going with the company.
Where are you going? I stand here as a lovely, I get to have the most lovely experience of seeing all the things unfold and possibly seeing things that you don't see, right? And watching them unfold through you. And so I'd love to hear What's next for you? And what are the chapters that are coming up? You know, I do believe that we go through cycles of life. You know, every 7 to 10 years, there's something new and exciting. You're a serial entrepreneur at this point, building, growing. What's next?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm moving forward as I'm creating more spaciousness for my own self to act as visionary and continue to expand Recore Group and the companies within the Recore Group umbrella. Also looking at my own fulfillment and purpose really is in working with men specifically and working with executive men from a coaching perspective. Mentorship has been a big piece of my life. And so I have, you know, going through some dark periods of life in the last several years, going through a significant divorce and challenge and transition. I had some wonderful, yet again in my life, wonderful mentors that helped to guide me through. And so I'm looking to pay that forward in the next chapter of life, which is to give back and to be of contribution to others.
That's wonderful. Thank you, John. You know, I'm extremely proud to be both a, you know, mastermind partner with you in business, as well as your wife, best friend, you know, all of the great things. I would love for us to sort of end on, what's one of your favorite conversations you've had with me about business?
There's probably not one specific conversation, but I'm very fortunate, and it's very wonderful to be able to have a partner in which I can share all of myself with, to include my work, and to be able to have a partner who is also a successful entrepreneur who understands the challenges of entrepreneurship to help me mastermind and workshop issues and problems that arise and help me come to really wonderful solutions. I really appreciate that.
Thanks so much for being here for the CoLab Career Stories podcast. Please follow us on social media at Join the CoLab and sign up to become a member and share your story at jointhecolab.com.